Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Law & Order Special Victims Unit has been on the air since 1999 and has aired more than 430 episodes since its debut. Over the last 20 years, the show has delved into many issues that a lot of shows would steer clear of, including incidents of sexual assault. Our next guest is here to talk about the staying power of the show and its plots that were often ripped from the headlines, as they say. Meredith Blake writes about television for the LA Times. Meredith, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, 20 years on the air, that's quite an achievement. It's in the record zone for primetime dramas. What is it about Law & Order Special Victims Unit that stuck around so well?
I think there's a couple things. I think it's two contradictory things, right? I think there's, on the one hand, there's a strong connection between the audience and the characters on the show, specifically Mariska Hargitay's character, Olivia Benson. But there's also the procedural aspect of the show, which means that there's a close-ended case nearly every single episode. So you can just kind of dive in and watch. You know, you're at the gym on the elliptical and you get hooked and you want to watch it, and you get a beginning, a middle, and an end in each episode. And I think that combination keeps viewers hooked. You know, you can always just dive in when you want, but you also have a strong personal attachment to the character, to the main character, Olivia Benson.
Yeah, a lot of things that people call prestige TV, or a lot of the award-winning shows, they're serials. To understand what's happening in this episode, you kind of have to have seen what's come before, and it seems like that's the direction of a lot of shows. This is different, though, and it's kind of a benefit for them, you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's certainly been a trend for the past 5 to 10 years to have these heavily serialized dramas where you jump in to, say, an episode of Game of Thrones in season 3 and you'll be utterly lost. SVU is not like that. SVU, you can jump in and there might be some stuff going on with Olivia that you don't totally know what's going on, but you will, you know, the bulk of the show will be about whatever the case of the week is, and you can just dive in and have a good time and be done with it. And I think this show kind of splits the difference in a way that's unique and has made it very popular and given it really unexpected longevity in television.
Let's get a taste of the show now with a listen to a scene from an upcoming episode, season 20, I guess, of Law & Order SVU.
We talked to Sam's friends, teachers, teammates, and coaches.
Yeah, he's well-liked. He gets good grades. He's on the travel baseball team. He volunteers at an animal shelter. No history of being bullied. And his teachers, there's no red flags there.
Okay, what about the family?
John owns a beverage distribution company. Molly is a stay-at-home mom. They've been married 20 years, no history of DV. Neighbors got nothing but good things to say about him.
And the brother, Brian.
He's been in detention a few times, fights mostly, but everybody we talk to say he and Sam are close.
Father said that they were together all weekend. Is there any chance that Sam ventured off by himself at any point?
I don't know. He was with Brian and John in Stillman County on a hunting trip. And everything's by the books, licenses, registered rifles.
So what the hell are we looking at?
Something that Sam said to me in the hospital. That whatever this was, he said that he needed it to happen.
So maybe he was experimenting sexually.
It's possible that he had an encounter with the predator upstate. I mean, it's not uncommon for a teenage boy to wander off.
So in a lot of ways, there's the team at work. We do love a good police procedural in this country, don't we, Meredith?
We sure do. Yeah, I mean, you. There's a lot of talk about how broadcast television is fading, but consistently year after year, you know, shows where people solve crimes are always a big draw. I mean, not always, but, you know, consistently a big draw.
Now, this show took the formula of Law & Order, which dealt with crimes in general, and it's targeting mostly at these sexual-related crimes, and this is something that could break two ways. You could see it as really shocking and exploitative in some ways, or you could see it as, we're tackling these issues that we're afraid to talk about. How do you see the show kind of threading that needle?
Yeah, it is tricky. I mean, the show has been criticized as exploitative, but I think in general, the power of bringing these stories into people's audiences across the country for 20 years is the most important thing here, that this is a show that's getting people to talk about consent, that's getting people to think about these issues, to talk about survivors coming forward and not being ashamed of naming you know, the perpetrators of the crimes is a really important thing, and I think you can't devalue that. Yes, there's kind of an inherently sort of exploitative quality to it that you're churning out stories week after week of terrible abuse, but that's not unique to this show. That's something that we see in kind of every show that portrays violence of one kind or another.
As we're seeing even this week with Why I Didn't Report hashtag, a lot of people in who do report assaults say they haven't been taken seriously by family members, authorities. You write that the victims of these attacks in the show are treated generally very sympathetically by the main cast.
Yeah, and that's a conscious, apparently from my conversations with the writers and with Mariska, that's a conscious effort on the show's behalf. It's maybe one area where the show kind of takes some slightly poetic license, is that the law enforcement in the show, especially Olivia, tends to be sympathetic to the accusers. And that's not to say that law enforcement aren't sympathetic, but oftentimes their job requires them to be more skeptical if they're, say, building a prosecution against someone. They have to come at someone's claims from a skeptical vantage point. But the show has always, not always, but it, generally speaking, is sympathetic to the survivors, and that's what I think makes it powerful. You'll never hear Olivia Benson asking a character what she was wearing or how many drinks she had in an accusatory way.
You talked to, as you mentioned, the stars and creator of the show. They started in 1999, way before the Me Too movement was around. How did they talk about what we're seeing in American culture on these issues over the last year?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think there's depends on who you ask. I think in some cases, Dick Wolf, who's the original creator of the series and kind of the godfather of the Law and Order franchise, he refers to Mariska as the godmother of Me Too, which is maybe, I think he's being slightly hyperbolic, but I think the way he sees it is that this show has really helped spur a conversation around consent, around all of these issues that's helped really change public perception about, various crimes of a sexual nature. I think Mariska, she's also kind of, who plays Olivia, the main character, she's also become a real off-screen ambassador for it. She has a charity that's dedicated to survivors of sexual assault. She's produced a documentary about the Rape Kit backlog and really helped drive attention to that issue. So I think that they're all happy to be a part of the conversation. And, I don't know that they're ready to claim credit for it, but I think they're certainly happy that the show has helped move the dialogue forward in some way.
Talking to Meredith Blake, TV writer for the LA Times, talking about the show Law and Order Special Victims Unit and about its longevity. It's kicking off its 20th season this week. Meredith, it was interesting. You wrote that there was one topic the show intentionally avoided tackling, and that is teen suicide. Why is that?
That was interesting. That came up in multiple conversations, and that is because, according to research, there is a noticeable uptick or a noticeable correlation between portrayals of teen suicide and specifically teen suicides where they go through with it in films and television and the teen suicide rate. And for that reason, that's just something that they don't touch on this show.
How is the show?
Dick Wolf, I suppose Dick Wolf. He said he has 5 kids, I believe, and so for something, for him, it's very personal. They don't portray that.
Now, the show, as I said, entering its 20th season, has the show evolved over the years, or does it feel like they're on the same formula they've been on since season one?
It's absolutely evolved, and I think that's a key to its longevity. In the first, 12 seasons, it was Olivia Benson and her partner, played by Chris Maloney, Elliot Stabler, and it was kind of what in showbiz talk they call a two-hander, which is, a show where there's two main characters who kind of feed off of each other. And, their dynamic kept the show going for a long time, and then Chris Maloney decided to leave, and then it really became more about Olivia Benson and her life, and it became her story, and Mariska became the protagonist. And I think people sort of, fans of the show see there's kind of two chapters in the show's life. There's probably many chapters in between those two chapters, but those are the kind of the big two eras in the show. And And, you know, as the show has gone on, it's gotten a little more serialized, as we talked about before. There have been some multi-episode arcs dealing with things in Benson's life. There was one famous one where she was kidnapped by this serial rapist, and that was, I think, a 4 or 5 episode arc. So they've dabbled a little bit and done some more inventive storytelling outside of the traditional procedural format, but it's still at its heart a procedural.
Now, we've seen over the last couple of decades a decline in viewership for broadcast media in general, TV shows, primetime TV, just because there's so much other stuff people can watch. How has Law & Order SVU done as far as ratings over the years?
It's been pretty consistent. I mean, it's seen some erosion just like any other show, but it's got a pretty stable core of fans. It's never been like quite up there with like an NCIS in terms of ratings. No, that's a huge hit, and you know, I think that's been on 16 or 17 seasons, but it's been a stable performer, and it's also a huge, huge performer in reruns. It's on cable, it's on USA, it's on ION, it's on Hulu. You can watch it kind of any time of the day or night, and that's, I think, helped sustain its popularity that, you know, it's always finding new viewers.
I know you can't predict anything in the world of TV. Things can change. But in talking to the cast and crew there, did you get a sense that they want to keep doing this for another bunch of years?
I did. I mean, I think Dick Wolf, who is the kind of, you know, he's like the impresario of this world, he seemed very determined to at least break the record, because right now it's tied with the original Law & Order and the long-running Western Gunsmoke. And I think they all want to get to 21 to at least break the record. Beyond that, I think it's a matter of, it really comes down to whether Mariska Hargitay wants to stay on board, because she's really the crux of the show at this point. Without her, I don't think you'd have the show. And she seems to be really excited and creatively plugged in and excited to keep going. So who knows? They're at 434 episodes, and you know, maybe they'll go to 500.
Wow, that'd be a heck of a binge watch. Meredith, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Meredith Blake is a TV writer for the LA Times. She joined us to talk about the 20th season kicking off this week of the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit and why it's had such staying power now for 2 decades.